Now, turning your Bibles, please, to Luke chapter 2. I want to be brief this morning, and I'm going to be touching on things that to the vast majority of you will be well known. Not a lot to say that's terribly new, but that doesn't mean it's not important. And above all else, I hope this morning doesn't mean that it's not encouraging and helpful to us as we come to the end of another year. Luke chapter 2, and reading at verse 8, and I want to speak this morning about real peace for real people. Real peace for real people. Let's read in Luke chapter 2 and verse 8. Now there were in the same country shepherds living out in the fields, keeping watch over their flock by night. And behold, an angel of the Lord stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were greatly afraid. Then the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which will be to all people. For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be the sign to you. You will find a babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So it was when the angels had gone away from them into heaven that the shepherds said to one another, "Let us now go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. Let's just bow our heads once again. Father, we've read these words many times in the last few days. Help them never to lose their beauty, we pray. And we just ask that as we come to think about your word and as by your spirit we seek to learn things from the Lord, may it be that that would be the case, that you would teach us this morning, that you would encourage our hearts, that it might be the voice of God that is heard, and that, Father, we'll go away from here refreshed and encouraged and challenged, and more sure and secure in the wonderful faith in which we stand this morning. Bless us, be amongst us, we pray, in the Lord Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. Often quoted, actually not quite accurately, the other way around, as peace on earth. It's a lovely idea, isn't it? And in fact, we live in a world where politicians and philosophers are constantly telling us that if only we could do this, and if only we could crack that, and if only we could solve the other, that there would ultimately be peace on earth. It's a lovely idea. But I was listening to something recently, and the person who was speaking said this, and as I thought about it, I thought it was a tremendous and very true statement. This person said, and they were a Christian, "I have never experienced a time in my life when there has been peace on earth, but I know it in my heart." Is that true? Peace, of course, is the idea of harmonious relationships between men or between nations, between family members, friends. It's the idea of living in a state where there is order and harmony and things actually work. But the reality is that harmonious relationships in all those different settings and many more are very, very hard to come by. Peace on earth. That person said, "I've never experienced a time in my life when there has been peace on earth." And I thought about that. I thought, well, you know, that's true for me as well. They were in their 70s, 80s maybe. And so they could go far, farther back than I could. I think the first time I remember realizing that we live in a world that is not peaceful is just as a little boy. One of my earliest memories is sitting, and I don't know why they let me do it, but as a six-year-old boy, watching those broadcasts as the ships sailed from Britain down to the southern tip of Argentina to take part in that battle to win back the Falkland Island. And living in England as we were at the time, that was something that we were glued to. And I remember those reports that would be made by, it really made his name as a journalist, Brian Hanrahan, reporting for the BBC. And it was just incredible to see what was going on. And then many of us can look back to those reports we would see. And it was the first time ever that we began to see live broadcasts of war as it happened, as the Gulf War took place in January 91 and beyond. And then we remember those harrowing reports that came in from Bosnia as we began to hear for the first time that horrible term, ethnic cleansing, in the 90s. And then we saw those towers come down in New York on 9/11, and then the second Gulf War. And of course, for all of us, closer to home, knowing what it is to live on an island that has known much of its trouble over these last few decades. Peace on earth, something we've never known in our lifetimes. What about the lack of peace among families and neighbors and friends? It would be true to say that there is no peace on earth in a literal, knowable, experiential, physical sense. And even in Bethlehem that night, there was no real peace, was there? A land under Roman occupation, and even though Caesar Augustus, who we read of in this passage, had introduced what they called the Pax Romana in BC 27. And it ushered in a period where, depending on your view of the history of the Roman Empire, it ushered in a period of about 200 years of relative peace in the Roman Empire. But nations like Israel and Palestine were still occupied by the Romans. So I don't see that it was particularly peaceful for them. It wasn't peaceful in Bethlehem because there was a census going on, and everyone that ever came from Bethlehem had to go there. And the same in all the other towns. And the hustle and the bustle must have been crazy. It wasn't peaceful in Bethlehem, or at least in one little part of it, because angels sang in the sky. And not my favorite carol, partly because I don't think it was a silent night at all. And it wasn't peaceful in Bethlehem because there, somewhere tucked away, I'm not so sure it was in a town center street. I think it was in somewhere more obscure than that. A little stone manger, probably, in the back of an inn or out in a field somewhere. A baby was crying. And yet the angel said on earth, peace. And as we put that all together, we begin to understand that the angels must have been singing of a different kind of peace. Not the tranquility of the stillness of a night. Not the harmonious relationships between men who normally would be enemies, or families who normally are living broken lives. This is a spiritual peace that only comes from God himself. On earth, peace, the angel said, goodwill toward men. Now, a better way of translating that, because that is a complicated little phrase. And I think a much simpler way of translating it that helps us to understand what it means is this. On earth, peace towards men on whom God's favor rests. On earth, peace towards men on whom God's favor or God's sovereign pleasure rests. You see, this idea that politicians and philosophers have, that if only we could do better and work harder and solve it, gives us the idea that peace on earth would come to us as a population, as a reward for doing the very best that we can. Put your recycling in the bin and all will be well. But peace on earth actually doesn't come as a reward. We discover in the words of the angels here that peace on earth is a gift from the God of heaven, given to those upon whom his favor rests. And we have reveled this morning in our worship of the Savior, haven't we, in thinking that we are those on whom his favor has rested. The gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
Of course, there is another way of looking at it. We as believers could look around us and see the hopelessness and the lack of peace and the lack of harmony in our world. And in the words of the old poem that has been set to many a song, we could say this: and in despair, I bowed my head. There is no peace on earth, I said. Of course, that's true. But in the words of this quote that I started with, we may have never experienced a time in our lives where there has literally, physically been peace on earth. But brothers and sisters, we know it this morning in our hearts, don't we? And so there is no need for us to despair. And as we come to the end of a year, which, let's face it, for all sorts of reasons, has not been terribly peaceful in a physical sense. Isn't it wonderful to know that there is a peace that comes from God which passes all understanding? Let's just take a few minutes to think about this, and then I'll let you go to your microwave turkey dinner or whatever it is. The ultimate peace that we need, of course, is with God. Because although peace has this idea of harmonized relationships between men, nations, families, whatever, ultimately, peace, the peace that we need, is to be in a harmonized relationship with God. And also, it's the idea, when you look up your Bible dictionary, not just of a relationship that's been harmonized, but then the things that flow from that, the rest and contentment that come from being at peace with God. Romans chapter 5 and verse 10, these terrible words we read: we were enemies. We were enemies. And it goes on to say that we've been reconciled to God by the death of his son. But we were enemies, far away from God because of our sin. But the solution to that enmity that there was between us and God was peace toward men on whom his favor rests. So I want you to think with me about three things as we just go through this. First of all, where we found our peace. As believers, where did we find our peace? We're going to think about the place where peace comes. We're going to think about who brought us our peace. We're going to think about the person where we get our peace from. And then we're going to finish by thinking about how certain our peace is. And where we found our peace, well, what does the verse say? On earth, peace, goodwill toward men. We live in a little country, and this is not unique to this country, but we certainly hear it plenty around us here, don't we? Well, Auntie Flo, at least she's now at peace. Well, of course, that statement is only true if Auntie Flo was first of all at peace on earth. At peace on earth. And the reason that when you go, the reason that when you die, the reason that when you pass from this scene, we will be able to stand here at your funeral and say, yes, he's at peace, is because there was a moment in your life, I trust, when on earth you came to know what it was to be at peace with God. You see, God's favor to men is worked out on earth. We are not waiting to see if God will reward our efforts for him with an eternity of peace, are we? And the reason we're not waiting for that is because on earth, God has done what was necessary to provide us with peace. To earth, he has sent this little baby. And he's allowed him to grow and to develop and to speak and teach and heal and die. And on earth, he has made peace. And so the place where we find peace is on earth in this life at the foot of a cross. Here's what Peter said, preaching in Cornelius's household. You don't need to turn there in Acts. Chapter 10, verse 35. But in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him. The word which God sent to the children of Israel, preaching peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And the response to that preaching of peace means that though we've never experienced peace on earth in our lifetimes, we know it in our hearts. I hope you do this morning. I hope you're saved this morning. I hope you have found peace on this earth. And let me just say it as explicitly as I can. If you are not at peace with God in that judicial sense that the Bible talks about, of having your sin dealt with and cleansed and forgiven, and knowing that Christ is your Savior, then you will never be at peace with God in eternity. And I could never stand at your graveside and say, well, at least she's at peace now. That would be a lie. Peace from God. We find it here on earth. But what about the person who brought us peace? Turn, please, to Isaiah chapter 9. Isaiah chapter 9. Again, words we've read many times the last few days. Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government will be upon his shoulder. And his name will be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace, of the increase of his government and peace. There will be no end. He is, praise God, the Prince of Peace. He is the person who brought us peace. He's the Prince of Peace. It really means the captain or the commander or the chief. Isn't that lovely? When peace was needed, our captain stepped forth from heaven and brought peace to us by fighting in the battle that we could never fight. The battle that needed fought against sin and the devil himself. And he did that on the cross of Calvary when he died. In our place. And in the context, of course, of Isaiah 9, he's talking to Israel about that future kingdom that will come when Christ will reign on earth, and it will be a kingdom that will have no end, and they will acknowledge him to be their Prince of Peace. But before that can ever come about, there was that need for personal peace with God, and that was met in the very same Prince of Peace and the work he accomplished at Calvary. We must read now in this context, Ephesians chapter 2. Please go there. Ephesians 2. Because the peace that we needed, the peace that has been brought to us by Christ, was brought in the agony and the sacrifice of Calvary itself. Let me just read these words to you. Three times we read about peace. Ephesians 2, verse 12. That at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in the world. But now in Christ Jesus, you who once were far off have been brought near by the blood of Christ. For he himself is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, that is the law of commandments contained in ordinances, so as to create in himself one new man from the two, thus making peace, and that he might reconcile them both to God in one body through the cross, thereby putting to death the enmity. And he came and preached peace to you who were afar off and to those who were near, for through him we both have access by one spirit, to the Father. So because of that, we can now agree, can't we, with Zechariah? You remember what he said? After John had been born and he'd named him John. Here's what Zechariah said. He forgot about his son John for a moment and thought about the other one who was to come. He said this, Luke 1:78, with which the day spring from on high has visited us, to give light to those who sit in darkness and the shadow of death, to guide our feet into the way of peace. That's what Christ has done for us. He has guided our feet into the way of peace. He made peace through the blood of his cross, we read. He came preaching peace, and now he's guided our feet into the way of peace so that like Simeon now, not just Zechariah, but like Simeon, we are able to say of a truth, whatever circumstance we are in life, Lord, let your servant depart in peace according to your word. Again, I've never known it on earth, but I know it in my heart. And whatever conflict and whatever dispute and whatever heartache and whatever loss and whatever illness and whatever bereavement you have suffered this past year, and whatever lies ahead for us in the will of God in the year to come, we can say like Simeon, for my eyes have seen your salvation. So let me depart in peace. Oh, brothers and sisters, this is real. This is not the peace that the world gives. This is a peace that is sure and certain and steadfast. And so that's my third point. How certain is our peace? We come to know it on earth. We come to know it at the foot of the cross. We come to know it through Christ. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1, please. Just turn there briefly. Romans 5 and verse 1. Here's how certain it is. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, on the one hand, God's favor, God's grace, God's divine purpose has rested on us to give us peace on earth in our hearts that we might know it. But on the other hand, he says here, therefore, having been justified by faith, God's favor has rested upon us. He has been gracious and kind to us, and he has spoken to us about our need of salvation. And then there came that moment in your life when by faith you received it. And so having been justified by faith, what do you have now? Well, you've loads of things. And I'm not going to take time to go into them. But here's the one we're thinking about this morning. You have peace
with God.
And you may not have peace with your business partners or your work colleagues or your family members or your husband or your wife or your children or your neighbors or the tax man or whoever else. But this morning, brothers and sisters, we have peace with God. And there's nothing else that matters. Nothing else that matters. We've been justified by faith. We have been declared to be righteous by God. He's cleared us of all our guilt. And he's declared us to be righteous as he. And so now, it is an indisputable fact of the Bible record that we have peace with God. I wish we had time to read. You can look at them yourself in John 14. My peace I leave. Do not let your heart be troubled. Do not let it be afraid. Have a look at that when you go home. Maybe someone's asking, well, I don't know much of that peace in my life as a reality. Sometimes that's just simply because of the pressures of life. Sometimes it's because of this. Romans 8:6. To be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Are you carnally minded this morning, dear Christian? In other words, have you let the world get in on you, and take away your peace and your joy? Paul says there in verse 6 of Romans 8, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I wish we had time to look at Philippians 4 about the God of peace and the peace of God, but we haven't. But the point is this. All of this adds up to peace. Peace for 2022 and for the last 5 days of 2021. Brothers and sisters, we have never, and we never will experience a time in our lives when there has been peace on earth. But let's go out to a world around us. Let's go back to our families and back to our work and wherever we're done. And tell them that we really do know peace in our hearts. We found it on earth. We found it in Christ. And we know that it's real because his word says it. Let's pray. Father, we give thanks that in a world of conflict and dispute and difficulty, that we know what it is to have peace with you, the eternal God. We don't deserve it. We deserve the very opposite. We deserve to be under the wrath of God. But we're thankful that you sent that child into this world, the one who was born king. And yet he was mocked as the king of the Jews and nailed to the cross. And Father, he went under the wrath of you, the holy God of heaven, so that we don't have to. He bore our punishment. He took our place. He is our peace. And we thank you for it. May we go in the joy of this morning, we pray. May we go with peace in our hearts. May we go knowing that all is well. We give you thanks in his precious name.
Amen. Amen.